camp started yesterday late afternoon, early evening, and they've already been hit with their first challenge. They lost all their electrical power. And the thing about that is, you know, the air conditioning and all, they got to learn to tough that. I think the biggest one's going to be for people like Larry who need that coffee. There's just no coffee. And so, not yet. And so, Pat said, Brian's probably made a couple of runs to Starbucks, wherever it is, outside of camp. And oh yeah, they'll look back to it. Yeah, it's fun. It's fun stuff. Yeah. Now, if there's no breakfast, that won't be any fun. Yeah, donuts or... Here's what we got, kids. 3 boxes of bananas. Have at it. Yeah. That'd be right. They should have gone and waken anybody. Hey, you can have breakfast right now. I know it's only 11, but you got to have breakfast now before the milk's still good, still fresh. All right. Let's get ready for our study of the Word of God. And as far as I'm concerned, a very important study of dealing with loving as Christ loved, the new commandment. So let's begin with a word of prayer. Purpose of the prayer. Oh, by the way, on this prayer issue, Jim Langston had a fall. He got home, but Friday had a fall on the stairway and had to rush him to the hospital. So he spent Friday night at the hospital, and they thought they were going to keep him Saturday night, but they let him go home Saturday. So please be in prayer for Jim. And he's got a cut on his head, and he's weak. He said he's a little surprised. When he went home, when he left rehab, he felt really good. But he's just gotten weaker and weaker each day. And falling on the stairway didn't help at all. And so just be in prayer for Jim and for Nell. Make the right decisions in regard to his care, because he's going to have to take care of himself, and where he's going to sleep, and just a lot of issues that have to be decided, taking care of him. Okay, let's begin with a word of prayer. Purpose of the prayer, test yourself, see if you're trusting in the Holy Spirit, so that we can understand the Word of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as you know, the first century of the church, the Apostle Paul, Peter, James, Jude, allowed your Spirit to inspire them, writing what you would have us to understand and know. So now we pray that your Spirit will open our eyes the truth of Scripture. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen. Okay, Romans chapter 4. Let's start off just by reading where we are, where we left off. Romans chapter 4. And we are in verses 4 and 5 of Romans 4. Romans 4, 4. Now, to the one who works, his wage is not credited as a favor or grace, but as what is due. But to the one who does not work, but believes in Him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited as righteousness. And so this is where we are. Faith is the only way you will receive the imputation of perfect righteousness of God. Faith is the only way you receive salvation. Faith is the only way we will receive the work of Christ on the cross. I have at home quite a lengthy pamphlet on how to be saved. And the author, who has a lot of following, just goes on and on of water baptism and being born again and just doesn't even mention faith. I mean, it's not in there. Grace is not in his presentation. And nor should it be, because his salvation is works. So why should he talk about grace and faith? But the passage before us tells us how we're going to get the love that God wants us to have. God, the Holy Spirit, produces this love. Jesus Christ is the first. Now, the translation is helper. I don't like that word, because to me, help means I've got to do my part. If you will help me push my car, and I'm sitting in the back seat, or I'm sitting over on the side of the road, you'll look at me and say, get over here and do your part. That's somebody helping me. We don't do that with the Holy Spirit or with Jesus Christ and salvation. We depend on them. So I just like the Greek, parakletos. The Holy Spirit is the second, parakletos. You can either try to perform work required of us, or you can receive it by means of faith. You can try to work for it, and that's what a lot of Christians do. A lot of Christians have a long list, and they spend their time working at it, and they're very proud. They're very proud of their work, and they're very judgmental. You can always tell when somebody's doing a work system. They're very judgmental of those who don't. Those who truly understand grace and faith, hey, I have nothing to boast about, nothing to judge you about. That's the way you want to try at it, try at it. I got mine free by just faith. The problem is, we cannot even understand the love that Christ requires in the energy of the flesh. Cannot do it, cannot even understand it, much less produce it. There's the great problem. The only way we can accomplish the work of loving as Christ loved is by means of faith in the one who produces the love. And that one who produces the love produced it in Jesus Christ and produces it in us is the Holy Spirit. Now, what I want to do, if you don't mind, is paraphrase what Paul is saying. Now, verse 4. Now, to the one who works by the energy of the flesh, by something he does to produce the love of Jesus Christ, his wage, that is what you receive for all your work, is not credited on the basis of grace. In other words, it's not just given to him, but as what is due him. Now, contrast two systems. That word but. Contrast two systems. Work versus grace. But to the one who does not work, does not put forth his own energy, does not put forth activity, mentally or otherwise, and just trust, produces this love. But believes, the end of our obedience, in him, member of the Godhead who does the work, who justifies the ungodly, who does, in our study, who does the work of producing spiritual love. His faith is credited as righteousness. So, it goes something like this. Our work is faith. Our objective is love. And our fulfillment is the glorification of Christ. So let's take a look. Our work is faith. Bear with me and look at John chapter 6. Gospel of John, chapter 6. Our work is faith. Let's read John 6, verse 26. Jesus answered them and said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not work for the food which perishes, but work for the food which endures to eternal life." Okay, see there? You got to work. "Which the Son of Man will give to you. For in Him the Father, God, has set His seal." Now verse 28. Now they're listening. They said to Him, "What shall we do so that we may work?" So what will we do? We may work the works of God. A short sentence and three times emphasizing work. What do we do that we may work the works demanded by God? Now we come to verse 29, one of the great verses of the Bible. Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God." That is, this is the work required by God, that you believe in Him whom He has sent. So, you got to know who He sent. You're looking for salvation. Who did He send? You're looking for spirituality or the filling of the Spirit out from personal sins. Who did He send? And our job is to trust. He sent His Son for our salvation. We trust Him. He sent His Spirit for spirituality. Therefore, we trust Him. This is how it works. This is how God set it up. So I love verse 29. "This is the work of God." That is the work required by God, "that you believe in Him whom He has sent." So if someone wants to call faith a works, I really can't argue with them. Because that's what Jesus Christ says. Here's the work. And the work is faith. So if you want to, I like to say that we're saved by no works. But if you want to insist that faith is a work, you got Christ on your side. So who can argue with that? So this is the great issue. Now, the objective. The work is faith. What's the objective of this? Look at John 17. Move over now, a couple more chapters. Excuse me, 13. John 13. A well-known passage, verse 34. Here's the work. "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another." Another the same kind. That's another believer. "By this," by loving one another, is by this love, all, forget the word men, all, angels and man, believers and unbelievers, "will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." So, our work is faith. The objective is love. And the fulfillment of this is the glorification of Jesus Christ by that love. Now, with that in mind, let's look at Galatians chapter 5. Put these three passages together. Work is the faith. Actually, we could start with our objective. Our objective is to love as Christ loved, have His love. Our work to get there is faith. Faith in whom? God the Holy Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, look at verse 22. Well, I'm looking at Ephesians. That ain't going to do it. That is not going to get it done. Okay, Galatians 5, 22. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love." It's that simple. Love is the objective. Faith is the work. The Holy Spirit does the work. See? One, what is expected of us? To love as Christ loved. That is what is expected of us at all times. At all times. There's so many things that just blend together. I can't get them all in one class. But like in Colossians chapter 4, we're studying, always let your speech be with grace, seasoned with salt. So what does it mean? With grace, that's love. So our speech should be with this love. Everything we do should be as a result of spiritual love. And people, always, always, at home, between husband and wife, parent, child, whatever the case may be, friends, work, church, social, wherever you are, always, our speech should be of grace, should be graceful, salted, seasoned with salt. And we're studying right now what that means. So, what is expected of us? To love as Christ loved. That's what we do and what we say. Two, what is expected of you? What is not expected of you? Division, hate, jealousy, vindictiveness, guilt, all these kind of things. That's not expected of us. Three, that we cannot work for this love or produce this work of love. This love is not from us. It's not our love. Love one another as I love you. So we've got to love one another with His love. Where did He get His love? From the Holy Spirit. Where do we get our spiritual love? From the Holy Spirit. Four, that it is accomplished or produced by means of faith. We simply receive this love. Got the fruit of the Holy Spirit. How do we get any of His fruit? Any of His fruit? That's the great question of life. We can read all of these. We stop. Let's just finish. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, inner happiness, peace, inner peace. Sometimes you know you're in the conflict when your prayer is, God, just give me peace. I don't want happiness. I don't want prosperity. I don't want this. Just give me some inner peace so I can sleep tonight. Okay? Just let me have that peace. Okay? I hear the coyotes at night. Just give me peace in my soul. Patience. Kindness. Goodness. Faithfulness. In a few moments in our second class, we'll be introduced to it. We won't get to it today. But one of the greatest virtues of the Christian life, faithfulness. And I'm going to tell you, what you should hope is the epitaph on your tombstone. He or she was a faithful servant of the Lord. That's one of the greatest things that can be said. It cannot be said of very many, because it is very difficult, because it's a lifelong task. It's not just once in a while. A faithful servant. So where do we get faithfulness? Faithfulness doesn't come from us people. Faithfulness comes from the Holy Spirit. A faithful servant is one who knows how to be filled with the Spirit by grace through faith. And in all through their life, the battles that come along in life, they fail, we stumble, we all get bloody noses. But the faithfulness, just keep walking by faith, fulfilling our purpose, being a faithful servant. Then it says, gentleness, self-control. And I love the last phrase. Against such things, there is no law. Whether you live in communism, or Buddhism, or whether you live in the area of Islam, there is no law against these. No law against them. You having inner happiness, inner joy, this love, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. No, there's no law against these things. So you can always, no matter, you can't blame society or the government or the situation you live in. It doesn't matter. Daniel is a perfect study here. He was taken from Israel under Judaism and put into what we would call Islam, Babylon. Just where he went to Babylon would be like us being shipped to the center of and being stationed under Islam. And he just continued his work. And he fulfilled the plan of God. There is no law against these things. So this is our purpose. And we get these things simply by faith. Our work is to trust him. He produces all of these things, the divine nine, but it includes spiritual love. The cause is the Holy Spirit. The means is faith. And it comes through you. The body of Christ is here to offer the world solutions to its problems. All these problems. Evolution. Alcohol. Broken marriages. Politics. Moral and immorality. All of these kinds of things. See? All of these things. We're here to offer the solution. We're to declare or to point to a solution. And that solution is the love of God. It's the love of God. It's not just love. It's the love of God. There are a lot of places you go where they have a lot of towels or cups or signs. Love is always the ingredient. Love is needed. Love, all of this stuff. And if you understand that as spiritual, yes. But human love, no. Human love isn't going to cut it. See? So the work of love by faith is present. Environment of 1 Corinthians 13 that we're getting ready to turn to. To present wherever we are, whatever our circumstances. 1 Corinthians 13. Whatever is going on in our environment. And I mean, your home. All the rooms of your home, bedroom, kitchen, living room, your work, your church, your social, every part of your life, every part of your life, whatever is going on. And people in today's society, it can be hell. At home, at church, at work, and your social life, it can be just turmoil, see? But it doesn't matter. The environment is spiritual love from you. Whatever's going on, we have here the solution to counter the cosmic environment. Satan has a cosmic environment going on in the world. And is it powerful today? And unfortunately, God's environment is not that powerful right now. Not that many. But there are pockets of it. There are pockets of the love of Christ being revealed. This is our work. 1 Corinthians 13. 1 John chapters 2 through 4. This is the work. A love that is sacrificial to self, beneficial to others. This is our work. And by this work, the world is going to know something about you. They're going to know that you belong to Jesus Christ. But the only way we can produce it is by faith. This is what Paul means when he says, what is not from or by means of faith is sin. You can produce a love, but it isn't the love from the Holy Spirit. It's sin. I'm sorry. It's that simple. It misses the mark. It's not the love God's looking for. And it misses it by a mile. See? Misses the mark. Human works, human activity of flesh. We receive the imputation of righteousness by means of faith. We receive the work of Christ on the cross by means of faith. We receive eternal life by means of faith. We receive forgiveness of sins by means of faith. Don't ever think you are forgiven of sins because you do something. And here again, I'll just interject. Please be in prayer for me. It's Tuesday morning. Tuesday. It's my day to go teach these young people about spiritual love. And one thing about yesterday, I went over to where they get on the bus, and I just looked and watched. And there was just little bitty guys. Tyson's little boy. First year. Just a little, I gotta teach that little guy about forgiveness. Now, the older ones, I watched and they should have a pretty good understanding and grasp when I even use that word. But how am I gonna teach this little fourth grader about forgiveness? I need your prayers. My problem is, I have pages and pages of notes on forgiveness. I only need that much. But it's got to be the right one. It's got to be the right amount, the right things. Not all that I know. I can't do that to them. Even the older ones. I've got to give them just that much that they walk away from camp and they understand forgiveness. Because one thing has come clear to me in getting ready for it. Your view of forgiveness is your view of God. How you are forgiven from God is your view of God. And that's going to be how you're going to deal with others. It's from your view of God. Do you have to earn it? Can you lose it? Are there things that you can do that you cannot be forgiven? All these kind of things. What happens when you forgive? What happens when He forgives you? It's your view of God. And your view of God is going to be how you're going to relate to your friends, your family. Forgiveness, I've come to realize, it's one of the hearts of Christianity. And what is so interesting is, almost every Christian knows about it and likes to say that they forgive, but boy, when the tire hits the road, they can't do it. They don't want to do it. If you want to do it, you forgive. It's easy and quick. If you don't want to do it, you're not going to do it. And this is the great problem with most Christians. They forgive when they want to, and when they don't want to, it's tough. It's tough. It's a challenge. How do we forgive? And what happens? What does it mean? What does it mean to forgive another person? First of all, what does it mean that God forgives me? What happens? What happens if God doesn't forgive me? What happens if I don't forgive someone else? In my family? At school? My social life? What happens to me? Not only what happens to our relationship, but what happens to me personally if I don't forgive? So we've got to learn how to forgive. And we are forgiven. We receive forgiveness from sins from God by faith. Don't earn it. Don't deserve it. Get it by faith. Now, unbelievers are not forgiven of sins. Their sins are paid for. They will never be judged for them. But they do not stand reconciled with God. When we believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, one of the things that happens is you are reconciled. You are justified. And when you are justified, you are forgiven. When you are forgiven, you are reconciled. Fellowship. That's the difference. What happens to the unbeliever? Unbeliever will never be judged for his sins. Sins will never be mentioned, but he has no fellowship with God. A believer has his sins forgiven, has fellowship with God. Now, we may lose it quickly, And some, I'm sorry, may never regain it. But some do. Most of us do. So, forgiveness is a big journey. I'm sorry, you can see where my mind really is in this these days. Okay. We walk by means of faith. We overcome the world by faith. People, there are so many problems. I read on Wednesday night, several weeks ago, how we lead the world in pornography, how we lead the world in drugs, how we lead the world in alcoholics, how we lead in depression, on and on and on. How do we overcome these things? Energy of the flesh? I'm going to make a decision, and I'm not going to smoke anymore, I'm not going to do drugs anymore, and this kind of thing. And people, let me tell you something. Some of our believers are better than Christians are. They just have that ability, they make up their mind, and that's it. They can drop alcohol, tobacco, pornography, all this stuff, just make their mind up. And I'm happy for them. That makes them at least good citizens. See? But before God, it doesn't make any difference. They get no extra credit before God. What we do before God is we do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. His Spirit gives us the power to overcome the things of the world. So we overcome the things of the world by faith. We're filled with the Holy Spirit. Benefits of the Holy Spirit. We perform the work of spiritual love. So instead of jealousy, vindictiveness, comparing everything to me and comparing others to me, spiritual love. It changes the whole frame of reference. That's what we're going to see forgiveness does. When you forgive, you know whether or not you've really forgiven. Forgiveness does not demand reconciliation between humans. But boy, you'll know it in your soul. If you see them, and man, that soul just starts firing up again, you know you haven't forgiven. When you see them, and you're just relaxed, you're forgiven. You move on. Don't worry about it. This has to be done in the power of the Holy Spirit. Your entire relationship with God is by means of faith. So let's introduce a few principles. Principle number one, we are here to live and to proclaim a more excellent way. Getting ready to go back into 1 Corinthians 13. We've already started 1 Corinthians 13. I'm just taking this time to prepare for it. We are here to live and to proclaim the more excellent way of life. The more excellent way than anything the world has to offer. More excellent than anything the world, the creature, can do or offer. And anything that would separate even the body of Christ is not the more excellent way. More excellent way is that which is paved in spiritual love. Now, see, the danger of saying what I just said, that doesn't mean it's always going to work. Because we all know, especially in this room, I think everyone here is old enough to know, even in human error, you love someone, they didn't love you back. I can't help but think of Charlie Brown and the little red-headed girl. I mean, he loved this little red-headed girl. She didn't even know his name. And it broke his heart when Linus told him that. Didn't even know his name. His whole world is her. See? So, not everyone's going to respond. And even Christians are not going to respond. This is why forgiveness doesn't always result in reconciliation. Doesn't demand it. Doesn't always result in it. See? But it's the more excellent way. Not everyone's going to accept it, even in Christ. See? Spiritual gifts separate. Knowledge separates. Production separates. But spiritual love by means of faith is the alchemizer. It's what alchemizes. It's what transforms spiritual gifts. Knowledge. Service. into glory of Christ. See, it's not just the doing of those things. It's the spiritual love in which they're doing it that alchemizes them, transforms them into something valuable. We are here to be a source of a great spiritual force in society, and that force is spiritual love. Principle number two, love does not save. The means of salvation is faith. We are not saved by means of loving Jesus Christ. The scriptures do not say, love Christ and thou shalt be saved. We are saved by means of faith in Jesus Christ. And I think a lot of people put a lot of emphasis on love in the gospel. It is not part of the gospel from us to Him. It's part of the gospel from Him to us. Our Christian life, we love Him because He first loved us. That's our Christian life. But as far as salvation is concerned, love has no part from us as far as salvation. One of my favorite people I love to read, James Gretchen Machen. Can't wait to meet him in heaven. Cannot wait. Sit down and talk with Machen. I got lots of people I want to talk to. I had lots of people. The other night I was shocked. I forgot what was going on, but my wife said, oh, when you get there, heaven, Moses will talk to you. Where did that come from? I've never thought about talking to old Mo, but boy, he'll have some wonderful things to share with me. See? So, but James Gretchen Machen, let me tell you what he wrote in his great book, What is Faith? And I highly recommend it if you've not read it, What is Faith? By James Machen. Alright. Quote, love, according to the New Testament, is not the means of salvation, but it is the finest fruit of it. A man is saved by faith, not by love, but he is saved by faith in order that he may love. I just love the way he worded it. It's so true. We're not saved by love, loving him, but we're saved in order that we can love him. God wants us to love his son. See? That's a very important part of our Christian life, is loving Him. God wants us to. God wants us to love His Son. He cares about those who love His Son. Look at John. Let me show you a very important passage. John 14. Look at John 14. Verse 20, in that day you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments, love and faith, and keeps them, is the one who loves me. Now watch this. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. Wow. You want the love of God the Father? And this is the dynamics of love. People, I like to think my ministry is about teaching about love, but it seems to be a lot about faith because faith is the way to get there. But you could spend two or three lifetimes and I cover all there is to know about love. God loves the world. God loves believers. There's a difference. God loves all believers. God loves the believer who loves his son. There's a difference. Same word, difference. Just like us. You may tell someone in church or in life, I love you. Then you go home and tell your husband and wife, I love you. There's a difference. I don't love them like I love my wife or my husband. There's a difference. But I told them, I just told them, I love you. Then I go home and tell my husband or my wife, I love you. They might say, well, wait just a minute. You just give this out to everybody? See? There's a difference. And we understand that. We understand that. And this is what we have in John 14 here. You want to be loved by God the Father? We're all loved by God the Father. You want a special love from the Father? He'll get it to you. Love his Son. How do I love his Son? By the love poured to me by the Holy Spirit. How do I get the love of the Holy Spirit? By trusting the Holy Spirit. It's that simple. The Holy Spirit isn't playing games. Well, you're not good enough. How am I going to give you this love? You trust the Holy Spirit, He pours it in you. And then you love as Christ loved. And you love Christ. So this is the power of this love that we're talking about. Let me just quote one more time. James Machen. Love, according to the New Testament, is not the means of salvation, but it is the finest fruit of it, of salvation. A man is saved by faith, not by love, but he is saved by faith in order that he may love. See, I thought I was saved so I didn't go to hell. I thought I was saved so I didn't have to spend eternity in the lake of fire. Yeah. But we're also saved to love Christ and to be loved by God the Father. See, that's the great issue. It isn't a matter, do you love the Father? Does the Father love you? That's the great issue. Does God the Father love you with that special love? He loves the world. See? And to some people, that's wonderful. He loves the body of Christ. That's wonderful. But he has a love for certain believers. That's the love we should want. I want that love. I want that. Does he love you in that special way? And he does not love every believer with that kind of love. See? Now, principle number three. Spiritual love is objective. Our work is faith to produce this love. How do we love as Christ loved? How do we love as Christ loved? Let's look at Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. I'll tell you a problem. Or not really a problem, but something that's in my soul right now is, as you know, we're in the last part of Colossians 4. What am I going to cover next? See, I'd have to go back and do Galatians again. But we've already gone there, and there's so many we haven't. So I'm battling right now, and if you have a preference, you can let me know. I'm battling between 1, Ephesians, 2, 1 Peter, 3, finished Romans. So I'm reading. I'm reading 1 Peter, I'm reading Ephesians, and I'm reading Romans, from chapter 4 on, and chapter 5 on. And I'm trying to let the Holy Spirit, you know, dig me which way to go. Let me know what he wants me to cover next in the Sunday morning class. So that's one of my problems, what we're dealing with. But let's look at Galatians chapter 5. And I want to read verse 5 and 6. Verse 5. But we, believers, by the Spirit, through the Spirit, by faith. Now the structure of the Greek, by faith, we have the Holy Spirit. But it also goes with the following. By faith, we are waiting for the hope of righteousness. This is not imputation of righteousness. This is a righteous life. So you want a righteousness in your life to correspond with your righteousness in Christ. So how do we get that? By faith in the Holy Spirit. Now, verse 6. For in Christ, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. And what is he saying? Any kind of a performance standard, any kind of a performance system means nothing. Some people have their performance system, knowledge of doctrine. How much knowledge do you have? I got more than you. See? Some people at service. I serve him here, and I serve him by being a missionary, and I serve him doing this. Some people, it's emotion. Have you had the second blessing? I've had it many times. See? All these kind of things. So, different people have a performance system. And they evaluate others on their performance system. Do you know as much as I do? Have you been studying as long as I have? How much do you have? Then others come along. Yeah, but do you work? Boy, I work. I go to the hospital. I do this and I do that. I've been to the mission field. On and on and on. I sing. I play the piano. I'm an usher. I do this at church. And on. It's whatever your service is. And then again, others' emotion. But do you really love Him? Do you emote with Him? Do you speak in tongues? Do you get that blessing? That's their system. So look at verse 6 again. For in Christ Jesus, no performance system means anything. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision, performance system, means anything. But faith working through love. Wow. There is the issue. Not by energy of the flesh. See? Not by desire of the soul. Not by anything we do. This love is caused by the Holy Spirit. Our passage, faith working through love. Now, let's take a look at faith. Pistis. See? This is faith. Non-meritorious system. You got performance system versus a non-performance system. Verse 6 is a powerful verse. You got a performance system. Circumcision, non-circumcision. And boy, they battle. The Jews are superior because they've been circumcised. Gentiles are superior because they have not been circumcised but have righteousness. So they battle back and forth. Performance system. Whatever your performance system is, I go to church, I sing, I give a tithe. See, a lot of people do that just so that's their performance system. I give a tithe. You give a tithe? It's none of your business. It's between me and the Lord. See? But they have a performance system. So, that's what they boast of. That's how they separate from one another. Faith, you can't separate. I cannot say I'm more saved than anybody else. We're all saved the same way. By faith. Now maybe, to use a football analogy, maybe you just walked across the goal line. You received a pass and nobody was around you and you just stopped and walked across. You may have been a fullback, and I mean you just plowed it through and broke your back trying to get through there and barely got the ball over, but you got it over. Touchdown. Nobody can brag though. 6 points. It is. It doesn't matter. There's no performance system under faith and grace. We can't brag. We can't separate. One of the most interesting things in the study of church history is martyrdom. And the reason why people were martyred. It amazes me. The people were martyred, killed, burned, decapitated because they believed in transubstantiation, because they did not believe in transubstantiation. It's just amazing. And what is so fun about history, let's just be a history teacher, because in the 1700s, the martyrdom going on in Europe was high. And in that environment, over here in America, a constitution, a declaration was being formed that just went against the whole 1700 years of history. Went against it. You have freedom. You want to believe in transubstantiation? Go at it. You don't want to believe in transubstantiation? Go at it. You want to believe in infant baptism? Go baptize them. You don't want to believe in infant baptism? Don't baptize them. Do your deal. You have total freedom. Nobody's going to martyr you. Nobody's going to come against you. You have that freedom. And we're losing it in America. We're losing that freedom. But if you just studied history, what happened at the end of the 1700s is just a miracle in American soil. A miracle. If you don't just study American history, study what was going on in Europe, 1750 to 1800. Study what was going on. Study what was going on in the Middle East with the Islamics. Study what was going on in India in that 50-year period. And you're just going to shake your head. How did they come up with freedom? How in the world did they come up with a system that we celebrate in America? There's no way they could have come up with it. If you just look at what was going on in the world, and then you look and say, God did this. They stood back and they looked at the providence of God. That's wrong. That's wrong. That's wrong. That's wrong. Can we give man freedom to worship how they want to? And our forefathers said, yes. Yes, we can do that. We can give freedom and still survive. It's just amazing. The books that came together. They had the Bible. Then they needed an economic system to go with it. Lo and behold, God was at work there. Wealth of Nations being written. And they put that in there. It's just amazing. Political freedom, economic freedom, Wealth of Nations is the economic system that goes with freedom. And you put all of it together, and we had America. But we're losing it today. Because we're losing that value. We don't see it as a value anymore. We don't see it as precious to us. We must demand what people do. We demand you think a certain way. We demand you talk a certain way. You can lose your job if you talk a different way. If you say different things. See, we're in trouble in America. We're in real trouble. A couple at IKEA are now fighting IKEA in court just because they quoted the Bible at work. And because they quoted the Bible at work, they were fired. This is what happens in our society. We've lost that freedom that we had. And it's so valuable, people, the freedom that we enjoy. So we'll start here with Galatians 5:6 and 5:5 and 5:6 next Sunday morning. And no class Wednesday night, but we will have class next Sunday morning. So next Sunday morning, we'll continue here. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, first of all, we value the love of our Savior, because it was His love for us that He suffered the cross. And to think that that same love can come through us is just remarkable. What an awesome God You are, that You've established a system by grace through faith that we can have that same love. Father, I pray Your Spirit can use the things that we've seen this morning to the honor and glory of our Savior. In His precious name we pray. Amen.